Coming soon to Emperors of Rome, we'll be doing some By Request episodes. You see, when we do these episodes, we're looking just at the emperors, but there's lots of other interesting characters, significant events, public buildings, or Roman ways of life that we have to gloss over. So if there's anything in particular that you'd like to know more detail about during the Roman Empire, say during the Julio-Claudian dynasties, drop us a line on Facebook or on Twitter, and we'll do some By Request episodes not too long after Nero. But now, here's the podcast. Ave and welcome to Emperors of Rome, a podcast series looking at the rulers of the ancient Roman Empire. I'm your host, Matt Smith, and with me as always is Dr. Rhiannon Evans, a lecturer in Ancient Mediterranean Studies at La Trobe University. This is episode XV, The Assassination of Caligula. And as you can tell from the title, this isn't going to end well. When we last left Caligula, he's been behaving quite erratically and has been making strange decisions. But before we get to his assassination, Rhiannon will tell us about his attempts, or his non-attempts, in widening the borders of the Roman Empire.
He's really known as one of the emperors who did nothing to extend the empire. And this is one of the reasons that he has a bad reputation amongst the Romans, because they like to see their power extended. The soldiers like to have opportunities to take booty, to take the spoils of war, so that makes him unpopular with the army. Plus, he's the son of Germanicus, who was a military commander and known as a successful military commander. So this is a big disappointment that he is not going to follow in these footsteps. And Caligula does seem to have realized that there was a necessity for some kind of appearance of a triumph or a military success. But in the way that we've seen elsewhere, he does it in a way that almost undermines it. You almost feel like it would have been better not to bother at all. So he goes to the borders of Germany, Germania, which is always a problem for the Romans. And when he's on the Rhine, what he does is he's got a bodyguard who's largely comprised of Germans, the German mercenaries, and he sends them over the Rhine and says, pretend to attack us. And they have a kind of fake battle.
What?
They cut down bits of branches of the trees and can make standards out of that and make spoils out of it. So it's almost like he's taking the mickey out of this very, as the Romans regarded as noble pursuit of conquest. He's doing it in this fake way. And when he gets back and holds a triumph, and again, this is from Suetonius, he's supposed to have taken Gauls. Gauls have been part of the Roman Empire for, 100 years by now, and dyed their hair to make them look like Germans and got them to learn some of the local language of the Germani and to march in triumph as though they're prisoners that he's taken.
Was he serious about that, though? Did he actually try to make it a deception, or was it meant to be an obvious kind of, yes, they're Germani?
Your guess is as good as anyone's in a way, because Suetonius presents this to us as an emperor who's failed in the military sphere. I think Suetonius' intention is that he's pretending that he wants to get away with it. But it is a fake. And, it's a fake of something that's enormously important to the Romans. So this is something that you need to treat with respect, just like the Senate, just like religion. And yet again, Caligula's not doing that. And perhaps the most famous example of him not treating the military and military conquest with any respect is that he goes to Northern Europe and he says that he's going to, cross the ocean, which for the Romans was the English Channel, and that he's going to have conquest there because at this point, the Romans have been to Britain under Caesar, but they haven't created a province there. They haven't conquered in Britain. And in fact, we're going to see that happen under Claudius, the next emperor. But he doesn't cross the ocean. He says that he's had a great military success and he gets the soldiers to collect seashells and bits of seaweed and bring it to Rome as their booty, as the prizes of war.
Wow.
I think you can read it in a couple of ways. Either he really was diseased in the mind and he thought that this was serious, or he's taking the mickey out of Roman institutions. It's more entertaining and it kind of gives Caligula a little bit of ownership of what's going on. Or you could also read it a third way, which is Suetonius has heard rumours like this, or he's embellishing them because Caligula was a bad emperor, so that's the kind of thing he would have done.
So while all of this is going on and he's ruling this badly and erratically, what did the Senate think of all of this?
Well, of course, they were very disturbed, and they're being personally affected by it. Lots of senators are executed. The treason trials come back. That whole promise to get rid of that doesn't last very long at all.
He kept some of the documents from before, didn't he, just in case he needed them?
Yeah, always a good thing to do, yeah. I think. So they're constantly under threat. I mean, they hate Caligula. He's not promoting their interests. In a way, the whole imperial system works against them to start with. But they can cope, by and large, with an emperor who will play along with them and still show them some respect. Caligula's doing the exact opposite of that. And what this means is that there will be plots to kill him. And this is what starts to happen. He's only been emperor for 4 years, and there are a number of plots. And at first they get discovered, exposed, as these plots often do, which just means that Caligula becomes more paranoid. He starts to become paranoid and to listen to rumors. So there are lots of omens, supposedly. Romans love omens. And one of them is told by somebody he goes to visit to find out about his future. Is he safe? And he's told by this prophet, no, you're not safe. You will be killed by somebody called Cassius. So he has a man called Cassius Longinus executed because he thinks this is the man who's going to kill me. But actually it refers to Cassius Chaerea, who is part of the Praetorian Guard. He hasn't thought that his bodyguard might actually be part of the plot. A bit short-sighted of Caligula. So the prophecy turns out to be true, but as so often with ancient prophecy, the person that is directed at reads it wrongly.
Interesting that the prophecy was true.
Well, of course, you can take that with a pinch of salt, but it is a good story.
Tell me about the assassination. How did it unfold?
Well, he goes to a public performance.
A play?
Yes, he goes to see a play, and when he's leaving, the plot is to kill him on the way out because he has to be kind of funneled out through a kind of porticoed corridor, and that's quite secluded. He goes this way because there are some young people who've come from the provinces there that he's supposed to sort of do a meet and greet with. And he decides to do that. And there's all of this kind of suspense built up in that there should have been another part to the performance, but one of the performers says he's not very well, so Caligula leaves at that point. And he is just basically attacked and battered to death and has his... There are actually a couple of versions of it in Suetonius, but in one of them he has his throat slit by this whole gang of conspirators, including people from his own Praetorian Guard.
So who were they? They were senators and elite. It harkens back a bit to, I suppose, how Julius Caesar was killed.
It does. It's in a much less public place, and it's not nearly as big a conspiracy. There aren't kind of dozens of senators in on this. It's much more closed shop. And it interestingly involves people from different status levels in Roman society. So yes, there are senators on board, but the Praetorian Guard has to be equestrian, the next level down. And there are also imperial freedmen involved, so ex-slaves. Now, none of these people has any interest in getting rid of the imperial system. In fact, most of them rely on them being an emperor for their jobs. If you're an imperial freedman or an imperial bodyguard, then you need an emperor around. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of talk amongst the Senate, allegedly, according to Suetonius, that they want to go back to their freedom, as they call it, which means the republic. And with the death of every emperor, especially a violent death, that is a question that comes up. Are we going to get rid of the principate, the whole system of having one man in charge? But that is not what happens. And it's thought that that is largely because the Praetorian Guard are determined that they're going to have somebody to guard.
It's, I suppose, in some ways good that he managed to unite everyone, even if it was against him.
There's an awful lot of misery and suffering along the way, though, to get you to that point. He's responsible for the deaths of far more people than we know of, but scholarly books on it by Anthony Barrett called Caligula, The Corruption of Power, he lists 31 names that we know of, and that's Roman elites, which is a fair number, considering that there must have been a lot more that we just don't have by name.
So with the successful assassination, what did the killers do at this point? What was their plans? How did they follow through?
They got rid of his immediate family, his wife they murdered, and his little daughter, who was very little, a baby basically, in an incredibly violent and nasty way, actually bashing the child against the floor. And that seems to have been an attempt to wipe out his line. So that there's not going to be a chance that, you know, his daughter will grow up and have a son who could be emperor. But they don't try to get rid of the more extended imperial family. Of course, with Caligula's family, certainly his siblings, they'd been wiped out by Tiberius, so the job had kind of already been done for them. It's a very murderous tale all in all. But there are people remaining, although for the next emperor, they're going to have to go back a generation. The next emperor will be Claudius, who hasn't had a lot of exposure in the imperial family, and he's actually Caligula's uncle. And he's said by Dio, it's not in Suetonius, but Dio says that he's actually hiding behind a curtain when the Praetorians are, you know, running around in the chaos that follows Caligula's assassination, and they discover him and make him emperor.
How is the memory of Caligula dealt with after his death?
Well, of course, because he was a much hated emperor, he doesn't get dealt with in the way that Augustus did. He's not deified. Mm. So the irony is that he may have tried to think of himself as a god during his life, but afterwards he doesn't get what other emperors get, the official deification and a temple and a cult. He's vilified, really, and Claudius, the next emperor, doesn't have the assassins executed, so they don't get punished for their actions.
Yeah.
He suffers a kind of a version of what we call a loss of reputation, or in Latin, a damnatio memoriae, which is more than just your reputation. It's as if you've been wiped out, as if you never existed. If you listen to the Tiberius podcasts, there was a man called Sejanus who plotted against Tiberius. He suffered this damnatio memoriae after his death, which means we've got no statues of him, because if there were statues, they would have been smashed. His name would be taken off any public inscriptions. Now, this didn't happen to Caligula. Claudius refused to do that. Clearly, it was suggested, and he said no, partly because Caligula was the son of his brother, Germanicus. But it seems to have happened in a sort of unofficial way. So we've got statues that we think were of Caligula that have been recast as somebody else. The features have been changed, often to Claudius. But Caligula's face in statues that actually are of Caligula is quite thin. So you can tell because it's Claudius's features, but the face is a bit too thin for him. And, you know, the Romans hate to waste. So if we're not going to have any kind of adoration of Caligula anymore, but we've got that statue, we may as well make him into somebody else and keep the statue.
So he was emperor for less than 4 years. It's three years and 10 months. So clearly, if you're going to kill your emperor after that amount of time, there is something very wrong there. How much can we say is down to madness, and how much can we say is down to just being a right bastard?
Well, we can't. I mean, it's a problem of trying to diagnose him at this distance. There's definitely something strange going on with Caligula. It's whether he was conscious he was actually doing something deliberately to annoy the Roman people just because he thought he was in a position where nobody could get at him, that being emperor has raised him so far above even the senators that he's in this position where he can't be attacked, which he was wrong about, or whether he actually was unhinged. That's quite possible, but we just can't say either way.
That was Rhiannon Evans, lecturer in Ancient Mediterranean Studies at La Trobe University, and you've been listening to Emperors of Rome. You can find this podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes, and if you like it, please tell your friends about it, leave us a review, and subscribe to it. You can follow both Rhiannon and myself on Twitter. Rhiannon is at Dr. Rhiannon Evans, and I'm at Nightlight Guy. Please track us down on Facebook and tune in for the next episode of Emperors of Rome. Until then, I'm Matt Smith. You've been fantastic. And thanks for listening.